Here together this morning, we want to just celebrate all that God has been doing. We are in John chapter 17, where Jesus has been active in praying for the disciples. And that's part of what we're looking at today as we look from verse 9 down through 14, or 13. And in John chapter 17, this is a prayer that Jesus makes because we all need prayer. He had begun by praying for himself, praying first for God, that he be glorified, and then praying for himself, that he would be able to finish the work of glorifying God as he went to the cross. Now, in this section, this is part of Jesus praying for his disciples. And you know, we all need prayer, and that's certainly true in these tougher times. Jesus knew that his disciples were going to need prayer, and they were going to need God's hand holding them together. And so I closed last week with John 17:9, and I'm actually beginning today with that same verse. Jesus says, as he's talking to the Holy Father in heaven, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. This is a prayer of consecration that he makes. You know, Jesus, as I said, at first consecrated himself to God and to the mission, John 17, 1 to 5. And now he prays for his disciples to be consecrated. I pray for them. Now, this is a dedication. It's a consecration is a form of making holy or making firm for the task, setting a person up for all the things that they need to dedicate themselves to. So consecration is kind of a holy form of dedication. And this consecration, that prayer, is what Jesus is doing for each of us, even as he did for himself. As he's praying, he says, this isn't a general prayer. I'm not praying for all of humanity right now, because I need to pray for those who are believers. Consecration to God really can't happen for an unbeliever. It really can't, because we don't know how to behave. We don't know how to act. We can't really serve God on purpose, except that we are consecrated first to his mission and to receiving his love and to sharing that love around the world. An unbeliever can be used by God. God even used Pharaoh and others in the Bible, even though they had no idea or no thought of honoring God. I mean, you go from Pharaoh to Nebuchadnezzar to so many others used by God for his purposes, but not knowing or not being consecrated to God's purpose themselves. And because indeed they were serving themselves, so they thought God was using them for his purposes, those who were not believers. But when there's a believer, then we have a brand new relationship going on. And so Jesus prays for those who have believed, that's believing that Jesus Christ is the sent Son of God. That's John chapter 17, verse 8. But when we believe that, we're lining up with the heart and the will of God, and we are his. And Jesus doesn't take from the Father, by the way. He receives. He says, I'm praying for those you have given me, for they are yours. He doesn't take from the Father. He receives from the Father. Well, as I was thinking this over and asking for direction this week, I realized we had a new relational roadmap going on. As Jesus comes and he tries to break through all of these issues we have with selfishness of humanity and God loving us anyway and all of that, there's a brand new roadmap for relationship that we have when we try and put things together here. Now, I made a few drawings here that just to try and help you out. So we've got a drawing with the world at the bottom and just showing heaven with a big arrow coming down toward the world. The world is loved by God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him might be saved. The world is loved by God, and everyone is covered by the Father's love. But the problem is, this is unilateral. It's just going to those, it's going to all the world, but it's not being reflected back. It's not being returned. It's a unilateral. God decides he's loving us, and that's just the way it is. Well, with mankind, we have a problem. If we're not a believer, we might recognize something about God loving us, but if we don't love God, then we get stuck. And instead of honoring God, we sort of hit this roadblock. We can't really respond to God's love because we haven't sensed or understood God's love. God loves us, but we don't love God. And so the problem happens that it seems like this would be a stop point. This is where God says, I give up. But no, God just loves us more. And what I've done, I've drawn another bigger arrow overshadowing the first arrow of coming down from heaven as God's love. Even while we are still kind of hitting the roof with our own understandings, even while we even turn that back on ourselves. The selfishness of mankind means that we're always thinking of ourselves instead of God's purposes. We're thinking of ourselves instead of how God wants to behave. And so the arrow coming from man is just bouncing off and returning because we tend to celebrate ourselves. We tend to be selfish even in our beliefs. But Jesus says, there are those that you gave me. What has happened is God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. And now we have a royal arrow coming down to the earth toward mankind, right through the love of God in the little picture I've drawn there. Because Jesus has come that we might know God's love better. Those you gave me, he says. He's talking about believers. Well, the process that happens when God came, he shared the world with mankind. And so we have the love of God coming down. We have the word of God coming through Jesus to mankind. And I've got a couple funny little stick figures there, but showing that this arrow of God's relationship flowing through Jesus to mankind. Now, what are we going to do about this? This is a new relationship when we begin to believe in who Jesus is. It begins to give us a new relationship. We now can see, begin to love God through Jesus. And there's a light gray arrow there that's going back from man to through Jesus up to heaven. We're working on it. We're trying to get this right. And God just enjoys that we have turned our hearts toward him. Because the reality is, he wants us to be his. And so now God has drawn a big circle around man who's responding to Jesus and giving that big circle of mankind to Jesus. Now, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but I began to think of this sort of in picture terms, even though I'm a terrible artist here. Because this roadmap of love that is shared here seems to go forward and back and back and forward in the verses that we've shared here. And we continue to love God, and I missed adding John 10:10 in this, which he says, basically, yours are mine and mine are yours. And it sounds like kind of a mixed up background. That's when I began to draw the picture. And so I'm trying to explain John 10:10 with my little pictures here to try and figure this out. Jesus says that this love relationship between Jesus and the Father means mine or yours. The relationship becomes responsive, and you have given them to me. And so this now becomes something that's kind of wrapped up in the love of Jesus. And we are given then back to the Father. And so just to kind of refresh that, I took away some of my scribbles here. I've got the love of God coming down, the heart of God flowing through Jesus toward mankind. So he loves us so much that he wants us to be saved. And we finally are able to understand the love of God and return some of that through Jesus to God. And that creates this new relationship of love that covers us all. I got a big old heart drawn around God's love and Jesus and mankind, that we might understand that he has wrapped us up in his love so this relationship might be complete. Now we know God as Abba Father. We know him as Daddy Father in sense. Jesus says, mine are yours, yours are mine, and we truly know God's love through Jesus. And now that relationship becomes complete as we now talk to God directly, and now this wrap-up of God's love is part of the glorification of why Jesus came. We're responding to the gift of God's love, the gift of God's heart for us. We're brought into his heart. Jesus is glorified in his believers as the Son of God, and believers get this reward of eternal life. And finally, we get this triangle of relationship between God and us, and us and Jesus and us, and Jesus and God. And it's this triangle that goes all ways all the time as the Holy Spirit helps us through that. We get this reward of eternal life. Jesus says, those you gave me, those who believe in him, he says, yours are mine, mine are yours. And I ask you to keep them in your love. And here's how he moves now. All mine are yours. Here's verse 10. Andrea got that in there for me. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So this reciprocal relationship of love is something that God has designed for us to know. And we know it only through Jesus. And so now Jesus continues in his prayer, because he has been given the believers. The believers have come to him, but now he's going to leave the earth, so he needs to release his believers into God's keeping. John 17:11, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. We're released to God's keeping because we continue in the world, even as Jesus goes to the Father. But here's the thing, the Father can be trusted to keep us. We are kept in his name. It's like the family name of God. Jesus doesn't bring up anything except your name in this short piece of the prayer. But this family name of God, keep them in your name. I have kept them in your name. Those who believe in Christ are brought into the family fully, and this loving God, the Father, will keep us. We're gathered into the family of God, and when we take the name, the family name, by our belief, when we enter into this family of God, this relationship that is purchased by the gift of Jesus to us that comes from the heart of God, then we become one in Christ, and we can begin to know that God is keeping us in this position that Jesus had prayed for. Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. We are one in Christ, or one with God when we are one in Christ. And so, it's sort of like Jesus is asking God to open his arms wide, to gather us into his embrace, and to keep us in the family of God. Now, we need God's keeping because In the world, we're drawn away by everything else. Every one of us are in need of God being in control and God managing, helping us to manage our own urges and desires and actions and all of these things. We're in need of God's keeping. Jesus reflects on what he did, John 17:12. He says, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. While I was with them, I kept them in your name." See, Jesus knows the world that he leaves behind as he goes back to heaven is going to change. The daily real presence of Jesus in the lives of his disciples is the key. That's what's going to be missing for these first ones that he had brought into the family of God, the first that have believed in him, those that he has kept by his physical presence, by his very real presence. That daily real presence of Jesus is going to leave. Now, we get this information so that we might know that living in Jesus is living in the family of God. It began back at the beginning as this prayer for those believers, not for the world, but for the believers, that God would keep them, would be realized. Jesus had been the guardian of his disciples. "I have kept them in your name." Why? We need protection from the world's temptations. We already always have something trying to draw us away. Usually it's because of our own selfishness. Usually it's because we want to make up our own mind. Usually it's because we want to shake our fist at God and say, "No, I know what you said, but I'm going to do it my way." Or sometimes we're just a little more gentle about that, saying, "Well, God, I heard you wanted this other thing for me, but I have this thing I want for me. So thank you, God, but no." We're kind of nuts that way. It's really kind of crazy when you think about it. We're given the love of God. We're given the word of God. We know the will of God, and we decide that we're going to do our own thing anyway. Well, it turns out to be for our own destruction, but if we allow ourselves to be in Jesus, we allow ourselves to be in that protection of God. We need protection from the world's temptations. Judas gave in. And that's why Jesus said, "None has been lost except the son of destruction." There had to be a scripture fulfilled, and that scripture came back that said, "Even one with whom I've shared my bread has turned against me." That scripture is fulfilled in what Jesus did. But in the meantime, all who stayed with Jesus, in Jesus, he kept us in the Father's name. And the reason we're guarded, of course, is because we needed. But now he says, he had just released us into the Father's keeping. He said, "I've done everything I needed to do, so you need God to continue your keeping for us." Why is this? Well, it's all for joy. It's all for joy. The reason that Jesus came is that we might be able to rejoice in who God is, that we might know God better, that we might understand his love, that we might know that even though we have turned our backs on God, we have sinned against God, we have decided to love ourselves selfishly and ignore the God who loves us unselfishly, Jesus loves us anyway. We're wrapped up in the in that gift of Jesus, that gift of love, that understanding that God loves us so much there isn't anything he wouldn't do, that we might be able to be with him forever in heaven. And that is why Jesus came and died on the cross for us, even to the price of sacrificing his own son to pay for our sins, to cover our debt. He loves us that much. There isn't anything God wouldn't do to have you with him in heaven forever. And so Jesus prays that we might be kept in his love. Jesus says in verse 13, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." That joy came to Jesus because he experienced a 24-hour relationship with God. He went out early when he was on earth. He went out early to pray so that he might just relish that relationship with God privately. He went out before the same sun came up. He probably went out after the sun went down. He just spent time with his Heavenly Father, rejoicing in him. And meanwhile, as disciples, we kind of mull around and do our own thing and just hope that we're still operating in the love of God. Well, let me tell you, you're always in the love of God. But if you are in Christ, you are also in the will of God. If you are living in Christ, you are brought together in a unity between Christ and you and God in heaven that cannot be broken by any outside force. God loves you so much. There isn't anything he wouldn't do for you. It's all for joy. As love surrounds us, love keeps us, and love infuses us with God's own joy. Might you receive that reality of God's joy, that reality of his presence even today. Jesus has prayed for you. We'll get into that a little further. He prays more for those that believe because of his disciples with him at that time. He's been praying for us, but since we entered in as followers of Jesus, we enter in as disciples of Jesus, and these prayers for his disciples are also prayers for us. We need prayer, but we need it so that we might experience God's joy in our lives by being one with him. We do it through Christ, no other way. No one comes to the Father except through me, said Jesus. So give yourself up into the love of God through Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your love. Thank you for this amazing reformation of relationship. You've always loved us, but we haven't always loved you. You've always loved us, but we've been selfish and sinful, and you just love us more. When we've tried to turn away, when our souls are just explosive, even when we are out of control, you come and you wrap us in your arms and you hold us tight, and you say, I love you. Jesus comes to say, as God says, I love you so much, here is my son. He will tell you of my love. God loves us so much, he says, here is Jesus, my son. He will tell you of my love, and he will exhibit my love. The true love of God, thank you, Father, exhibited through your son Christ, exhibited on the cross. Oh, good for us, even though you suffered so much. But thank you that you bring us back through Jesus. So help us to be all that you need us to be, all you want us to be, all that you've designed us to be, as we continue a relationship of love through Jesus to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.